Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast presented by Circa. I'm your host, Tim Muma, and here on the podcast, we'd like to give you all a bit of a deeper look into the news and information that comes out of OFCCP and its related entities, just break things down a little bit for you and give you some of that insight you might not find elsewhere. And to do that once again, I'm joined by Bill Osterndorf, founder and president of HR Analytical Services. Bill, thanks for hopping on with me once again. How are you doing?
Tim, things are excellent, and it's wonderful to hear your voice. It's been too long. I hope that you've had an excellent weekend and are looking forward to another surprising, fun, and interesting week full of OACCP and other whatever things, something like that anyway.
Well, it's always great when OACCP typically decides to hold off till like Friday afternoon for all the biggest news, kind of the opposite of what most people like to do. In the journalism side, that was always a news dump, that you would try to get rid of stuff at Friday afternoon instead of, you know, releasing important information. So always curious as to why OCCP does that. Any thoughts there?
You know, I think sometimes they do it for exactly the reason you just suggested, that it's like Friday afternoon, nobody's really looking, you know, we're going to put this stuff out, pray that no one actually finds it's there until later in the week or later the next week or eventually or never, and then no one bothers them with stupid questions about why is this on this particular listing, or why is it that, you know, that there appear to be typos on this particular document, or things like that. So I think that, you know, Friday afternoon is an excellent time. Also, for people like me who are routinely looking at OCCP's website and in other sources for this kind of information, OCCP knows it drives us crazy. So I think that's part of their objective as well. So it's just Friday afternoon is a great time to do these things.
Yeah, and while OCCP has definitely had some valuable news release lately, really the biggest piece for many is the release of the newest corporate scheduling announcement list, often referred to as CSAL, on a scale of 3 to 11.5, 11.5 being most surprised. How surprised were you that not only did it come out, but it came out before the end of September?
I would have to say it's somewhere in the 11.25, 11.4, you know, that kind of scale.
Nice.
Now, I think I've said probably previously on this podcast, I've said during industry liaison group meetings, I've said to the people who've talked to me that I didn't think there would be another corporate scheduling announcement list until either later this year or more likely next year. Mm-hmm. And that's for a simple reason, which is that OACCP has not yet finished all of the reviews that are associated with the corporate scheduling announcement lists that came out in March of 2019 and November of 2019. So I don't know why it was important to get another list out at this point, but I guess they wanted to prime the pump, as they say. So we have another 2,250 establishments that may go through traditional or some kind of you know, review, plus actually another 200 organizations that are involved in construction mm-hmm. that are also going to potentially go through review. So busy time for OACCP.
So was there anything about this CSAL that stood out in terms of the reviews or the amount of reviews that coincided with different types of reviews? Was it the construction establishments that were put on the list? Was there something particular, anything for you that really stood out when you looked at it initially?
Yeah, there's all kinds of interesting stuff in these lists. And let's, you know, just for our two or three listeners who are with us on the podcast today, let's just go back for a second and talk about what is a corporate scheduling announcement list.
Sure.
So OFCCP has decided that what it would do is give people, in essence, advance notice. So an organization that's going to undergo a review, they would end up on one of these corporate scheduling announcement lists, also called CSALs. So that they would know that they should get prepared, that it's time that they need to get their acts together and make sure that they're ready because they will be undergoing a review at some time soon. The CSAL, just to be clear again, does not open a review. So if you're at a company and you find your name on the list, it doesn't mean that you're going to get reviewed tomorrow, but it does mean in theory that sometime in the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, I don't know, 18, eventually you're going to be seeing a traditional scheduling letter, which actually opens the review from OCCP. So this is a get ready notice. You know, it says, you know, you're on notice. You should not be able to complain to OCCP that you didn't know this was coming, because here it is. You did actually know. These particular CSALs that came out were, there's two of them, and they're both interesting. So let's actually start with the smaller list, and that's a list for construction contractors.
Sure.
This is actually the first time that there has been a formal CSAL for construction contractors, and that's an interesting starting point. And there's 200 project sites that are part of that list. I think that the most interesting thing connected to this is that this list only has what are referred to as compliance checks that will be going on for construction contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And a compliance check is not like a traditional review. A compliance check is a stripped down version of a review.
Right.
So for all 200 construction companies that are on this list, and actually it's not 200 companies, it's 200 project sites, they will be going through a compliance check. So it won't be in theory as burdensome as the traditional review. But here's what OCCP is trying to do. They're trying to make up for the fact that during the last couple of years, they have done a half dozen or maybe a dozen construction reviews. So they're trying to catch up. They're trying to actually get more engaged with this particular part of the contractor universe again,
mm-hmm.
by saying, well, we're gonna do these stripped down reviews, but we're going to do 200 of them.
Hmm.
So construction companies, if you know, you happen to be one of our listeners today, we're grateful to have you here. Thanks so much. But the other piece is that, you know, for the first time in quite a while, you now have a list that you can look at that says you might be subject to review. All right. So the bigger list, the one that, you know, typically we care about a lot, is the list that has the non-construction contractors, or
right.
what are referred to as supply and service contractors. And that has 2,250 contractor establishments on it. And there are actually quite a number of different kind of reviews that are part of this list. There are traditional establishment reviews, you know, which is the reviews that we frequently talk about that includes the traditional scheduling layer that says hand over all your affirmative action plans, and, you know, OCCP may dig into a variety of issues connected to minorities or women or veterans or individual disabilities, and they may look at a lot of the statistical data you have, and it's that kind of review that people have talked about for years. There are also compliance checks, however, on this list, and a compliance check for supply and service contractors, just like for construction contractors, is a stripped down version of doing a compliance review. It only involves looking at a few things. So the organizations that got selected for compliance checks, this is where you go, this is so great, you know, because if we're going to be reviewed, let's have this thing, because it's easy, you know, it's straightforward to get through. The flip side to that is there are a number of corporate management compliance reviews, which involve the review of a corporate headquarters. Those are not fun reviews. Those are reviews in which OCCP comes in. They look very, 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 very much in depth at a corporate headquarters, and primarily they focus on what's happening with senior management, how those people are selected, how those people are paid, what kind of perks they get, what kind of stock options, what kind of bonuses, what kind of other things happen with senior management. How do people actually get selected for senior management? You know, what kind of places are typically reached out to find those folks, and how do promotion patterns work? There are very, very involved kinds of reviews, and those are the ones that people are not happy when they get on that particular list for that kind of review. So just to make life even more interesting, there are a number of Section 503 focused reviews, and those have been going on for a while now. Those are the kind of reviews where it's only about the affirmative action law for individuals with disabilities. Plus, there are two new kinds of focus reviews. One of those is a focus review that looks only at promotions, and the other is a focus review that looks only at accommodations. And there are a pretty significant number of those type of reviews that are on the CSAL for supply and service organizations.
Mm-hmm.
There are 500 of each of those. These are totally new. We don't know very much about them beyond the idea that OCCP Director Craig Lean has said this is going to be a focus point for the agency, that we want to know more about how promotion works for organizations, because we think that impacts pay, it impacts opportunities, it impacts who actually gets into senior management. And so there's a real desire to look at how promotion works. So OCCP is going to do these focus reviews that really looks primarily just at promotion. And then there's these 500 reviews focused on accommodation. And there's lots of people who have said, well, what's the difference between that and a focused review on disability? Well, the focus review for accommodation is in fact going to look again at disability-related accommodations. However, it's also going to look at other forms of accommodation, which might include accommodation for pregnancy and other conditions. And it is going to look at whether contractors are making religious accommodations.
Right.
So there's a number of different types of accommodations that are going to be part of that particular kind of review. I would love to say, Tim, we know all kinds of stuff about what's going to happen during these particular types of reviews, but frankly, at the moment, we don't. And we don't know very much because of the fact that there's actually no version of that formal letter that opens up a review for these kinds of reviews. So we don't know what OCCP is going to ask for in particular about promotions or about accommodations. OCCP has not, at the moment, developed anything on its website to tell us what are these going to look like and how are they going to work. OCCP supposedly is at work, and depending on when you listen to this podcast, I mean, I assume, Tim, people probably listen to this podcast immediately after it comes out. Is that how things work?
Oh, yeah, they get a notification, and, I mean, there are millions of downloads right after that. That's just an average estimate on my take. So, you know, that's actually doing a lot better than what you
I totally understand, and I would suspect that for those of you who are listening to this, you know, in your car or at your office instead of actually doing real work, you know, you'll want to go immediately to OCCP's website. There is nothing currently on the website, but we expect eventually there's going to be some information provided that tells us more about these new promotion and accommodation focused reviews. But for the moment, we're all kind of left waiting. So we'll see what happens. I don't expect these kind of reviews are going to start for quite a while because there's not any information out. There's been no training for compliance officers in this regard. But they'll happen eventually, probably, maybe, kind of, yeah.
Wait, I think
we'll
that's...
see.
I think, like you mentioned, again, we had talked about this as you brought up earlier on different podcasts or anytime we've had conversations of the timing of it, in that there are, of course, still reviews that need to be done from previous CSALs, and now you're tacking on another, you know, more than a couple thousand that, in theory, as you said, are going to get done at some point. I'm with you as far as, again, being sort of in this strange holding pattern. They got the information out. That's great. It gives these organizations, in theory, plenty of time to prepare for it, and probably even more time than they need if you're talking about longer delays with this. But I don't know. Do you see or do you think OFCCP still saw that there was a benefit to releasing this list or these lists, even if there wasn't necessarily a lot of urgency that's going to come with the actual reviews?
I don't entirely know why these lists came out now. I really don't. I mean, I think part of it really is the idea that the agency wants to keep the pump primed. It wants to have the ability to continue to do reviews when the current reviews are done. But I think the other thing that's going on here is that this is the agency making a statement. You know, OCCP Director Craig Lean has been talking for, I guess, a couple of months now, if not longer, about doing these reviews that are focused on promotions and accommodations. And the agency has been saying these things are important to us, and we want to do some things that are different, and we want to really, you know, be able to look at what's going on in organizations and understand more about not just the hiring that's occurring, but about other actions that are going on. So, I mean, there's some There's some strategic reasons. OCCP is basically sending a message to the contractor community. And that message is, we need you to start to think about how you're handling promotions. And we need to start to have you think about how you're handling accommodation, not just for disability, but for religion and for other purposes as well. When will these start? Will they start? You know, those things are all up in the air. But I think, you know, the agency has sent a message, and I think people should listen to that message, because I also think that, you know, the question about promotions is likely to surface in traditional compliance reviews.
Sure.
So, you know, as I think we've talked about recently on one of these podcasts, you know, it's time for people to actually look at how do they collect data on promotions, and how do they keep track of who's been showing interest in promotion, and how do they distinguish a non-competitive from a competitive promotion. And this list, I think, you know, sort of says, let's think about this carefully.
Yeah, no, that topic so definitely is something
part of what's happening here.
Yeah. As you said, we've discussed that in the past, and it does seem to make, you know, complete sense to go forward with that as far as the promotion side, and maybe that's the next big piece that everyone focuses on. Really quickly, they did also have to re-release the CSAL with some changes. Some, I think, types of reviews were changed out for some organizations. I think a couple of establishments might have been added. Is there anything to take away from this, or was it just they checked over what they sent out and they wanted to make a few of those adjustments?
Yeah, this was one of the bigger oopsies on the part of OCCP that they've been involved in for a while. And to their credit, you know, they were slow, but today, literally this morning, here on September 21st, OCCP did release a notice to the public saying, oh yeah, we did update this list, that the one that came out was a draft version, and oopsie, you know, we didn't do so hot with that. So there is a new list. So for anyone who downloaded the list on September 11th when they first came out, you will now want to go back and re-download the supply and service list, certainly, so you can take a look at what's different. There are the most interesting thing that happened, I think, is that there was this big switcheroo, because there were 39 establishments that had been scheduled for traditional reviews that are now going to be scheduled for promotion-focused reviews.
Okay.
And then the exact opposite. There's 39 establishments that were going to be promotion reviews that are now going to be traditional reviews. There was one additional establishment that was going to have a compliance check that's now going to have a promotion-focused review as well. And as you said, there's a couple of establishments that got added because the OCCP had some duplicates on the original list.
Right.
I still think the list is quirky, Tim. You know, it's got some odd stuff on it. There still is, from what we can tell, at least one duplicate, I think, that's still in the list. And then there's some odd stuff where OCCP has scheduled, in a couple of cases, more than one review at a single address. And that may have to do with the, you know, perhaps there's functional AAPs at these addresses, or perhaps, you know, there actually are two different entities connected to a company at those addresses. But it's a little unusual, you know, to have OCCP saying, and actually there's multiple cases where we see, you know, one single address that has more than one review going on. So it's a little different, you know, so we certainly, it's not impossible that at some point we may see yet another version of the CSAL before we're done. But, you know, there is an updated version. People who haven't looked at it previously, you can go out and look at the one that's there now. People who were really on top of it last week ago, Friday, I'm afraid you're going to have to look at it again, because, you know, there was all these changes. So, you know, bravo to OCCP for acknowledging the fact that, you know, they had a little problem. Maybe not quite as good that it took them a full week before they actually came forward and said, you know, oh yeah, we did revise this thing. And you know, the obsessive compulsive among us who check these lists really carefully, had actually, you know, already put up, you know, things on our various blog
sites about these changes. So I think OCCP kind of had to at some point here, you know, come forward and say
sure. There
were changes because it was pretty well known. So interesting times for the agency. They're having all kinds of fun, it appears.
Certainly. Speaking of which, having some more fun and creating some new announcements and some new thought processes for all the federal contractors out there, OCCP also had an announcement with a proposal related to their annual affirmative action program certification process that they're looking at, specifically developing an online management portal that is referred to as the Affirmative Action Program Verification Interface, or AAP-VI, or 6 if you're looking at it like a Roman numeral. I guess what's your initial thought as far as what you've seen with this proposal and any details that really are important maybe for federal contractors to recognize, as well as making sure they understand they also have some options here to comment on what's going on?
Yeah, Tim, you know, the last thing you said here is probably the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to, you know, those of you who are listeners who have an interest in this and who have thoughts, OCCP wants to hear what you think. So you have until November 13th to provide comments, and you should, in fact, do just that, because those comments can be extremely important in helping OCCP, and probably just as importantly, helping the Office of Management and Budget, when they take a look at this thing, decide, you know, is this going to go forward? How is it going to go forward? What's it going to look like? You know, where should we go? This initiative that they've just announced is an outgrowth of a directive that came out in 2018 that has a very clever title. Which is Directive 2018-07. No, it actually, I think it actually has a title, but that's the number anyway. Makes for interesting readings, as all things do. So the actual title of this directive is Affirmative Action Program Verification Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So that also is AAPVI. And so just to make our lives that much more confusing, so the thing that OCCP just released last Monday on the 14th of September, that particular new program is called Affirmative Action Program Verification Interface, as you had said, Tim. So once again, as we have in so many cases with OCCP, we have two acronyms that don't mean the same thing.
Right.
So, for those of you who are tearing out your hair because you never know what their acronym means, welcome to the club. It's a fun place to be. So I still think they need like a blurb to go with their ERP and VERP, but that's a whole separate thing that we'll have to talk about again sometime in the future.
Yeah, so I heard that's 2021 directive, actually. So yeah.
Yes, the 2021 blurb. Oh, it's gonna be great. I think that's gonna be the best initiative ever. So the Affirmative Action Program Verification Interface, it really has two pieces. And the first piece has to do with the certification process, because what OCCP is going to tell federal contractors and subcontractors is that if you are covered by our laws and regulations, you need to do on an annual basis a certification. So you need to go into a system we're going to create, and you need to answer a question, and you need to tell us, you know, do you have your affirmative action programs? Or ultimately, are you a new contractor or subcontractor, so you don't have them yet, but you're going to get them done? Or does it turn out that you're a contractor, subcontractor, and you haven't done them, and you have a life, so that you decided that, you know, that this is not something that sounds fun, and so we're not going to move ahead with this. I don't know about you, Tim, but I just a thought. I'm not sure I would answer yes to that third option. But for companies that want to do that, that'll make for interesting experiences. So, you know, I expect that most people are going to go ahead and say, you know, yes, we have our stuff in place, and we're very excited about what we have.
Sure.
So the second part of the AAPVI. The verification interface, not the verification initiative, the verification interface, is that OSCCP, for organizations that are going to undergo a compliance review, is going to provide a place for organizations to upload their affirmative action plans and other information directly to the agency. Now, a lot of us have been doing that in various ways already. You know, we're using various tools like ShareFile or something like that to upload information to OCCB. But there are still organizations that are sending in paper copies of everything, or struggling to figure out how do we send this, or sending it, frankly, by email. And OCCB doesn't want that. They want stuff uploaded to a secure site so that no one's having any access to it except for folks at OCCP.
Right.
So on its face, both of these things seem reasonably logical. You know, it sort of makes sense for OCCP to have an upload site. It even probably makes some sense to have contractors certify that, yes, we're getting our affirmative action programs done every year.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is probably in the details. Because in printing out this initiative, OCCP hasn't really told us exactly how this is going to work, who will be doing the certification, what will the formal process used be to both upload and to certify, what happens if you actually answer, we don't have our stuff done, and just sort of generally, you know, what are the outgrowths of what's going to happen here? And those are good things to comment on if you have interest in making comments. On top of that, buried in the justification document that OCCP put together here, they did ask for comments on the question, should we ask federal contractors and subcontractors to upload their affirmative action plans every year, so not just certify, but do an annual upload of their affirmative action plans.
Right.
And that would be a foundational change for OCCP. So if you have thoughts about that, and I know personally I do, that's something that you most assuredly want to comment on. Because, you know, those kind of fundamental changes are the things that OCCP need to understand, you know, that this might be a significant burden and it might not have the value that the agency thinks, and it might cause all kinds of adventure. So AAPVI, an interesting idea. At the moment, really all it is an interesting idea, because there's no actual form that the OCCP has released to tell us how is this going to work. So if you're interested, go out and go to regulations.gov, both the notice that OCCP put out announcing this and the justification document that they have that describes this are available there. And boy, are they fun reading.
Well, as you said, while they may not be the most fun, definitely important. And as we've talked about in the past with some of these and in making those comments, and you said that here, that, you know, they will listen to what the comments are, especially if there's an overwhelming voice that's saying, you know, hey, this is too much. This doesn't work fundamentally with what we actually do. We've seen that before with different directives and different initiatives that OCCP has looked to push out. So hopefully with Bill leading the charge, you'll be able to put forth your comments there, as you mentioned, by November 13th of this year. And then I'm sure we'll see multiple updates when it comes to both this initiative as well as, you know, what changes they might make, even with their initial proposal, I would say.
Yeah, there could be a lot of change between what's being released here and what the final version of any of this is. And don't forget, you know, since there is no actual form that's part of this initial AAPVI, that there will have to be an actual form developed, so there will be another chance to make comments on something OCCP will put out. So look forward to more OCCP excitement and adventure in the coming months. Oh, and by the way, then there is that whole presidential election thing that might happen.
Oh, yeah.
And just a quick side note, sometimes, you know, either when administrations carry over or when administrations change, stuff that gets put out late in a presidential election year gets abandoned early in the next year. So we have actually no idea. This AAPVI thing, this is very important to OCCP. We know that it is. It's also possible that this will never happen because, you know, it's it's hard to see how they're going to get this all done before January 20th, when either there's a continuation of the current presidency or a new president. And so comment on this thing for sure. It's important to comment, but whatever happens to this, we don't know. It could be something that becomes very important, or it could be something that disappears into that sad and unfortunate land where initiatives go to die an unquiet death.
Very well put, in a very dark terms, but also very true and very fair, as you said. With this year in particular being that election year, and maybe just because it's 2020, who really knows whatever is going to happen. So OFCCP will definitely keep us on the toes.
Yeah, that's just that, Tim, I think that, since it's 2020, it's like, I would expect, since in Wisconsin here, we haven't had fires or hurricanes yet. I would expect, I think it's going to be locusts. That's my guess here in Wisconsin. So, but I don't know. It just kind of depends on, to pick your favorite plague, and we'll see what happens. Any thoughts on that one?
I think I'm going to leave
locust,
that one alone.
Maybe?
I'll let you take that one. If you're right, congratulations.
Okay.
You're the next Nostradamus, and everybody will hate you for it. So congrats on that one.
I'm used to that, Tim. People frequently, when I call them up and say, it's time to update your affirmative action plan, they're like,
yes.
Why are you calling me here in the midst of a pandemic and a world gone mad? So it's an interesting time, so we'll hope for quiet days and peaceful nights. And I guess I'm just a philosopher today. So that's where we'll have to leave that.
I think that is a great place for us to lead things off. Once again, that is Bill Osterndorf, founder and president of HR Analytical Services. Of course, with everything that's going on, updates, changes, future changes, make sure you head over to their site as well, HRAnalytical.com. And as Bill has mentioned, they have information there about all these updates, blog postings, additional insight that you're looking for when it comes to these topics and many more. So, Bill, thanks once again for hopping on and breaking some of this stuff down. I'm sure the masses appreciate it, and we will be talking to you again soon.
Tim, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, sir. And with that, we'll close out this edition of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast. Again, I'd like to thank everyone who is downloading and listening to these episodes, and feel free to share all your friends out there. So for everyone here at Circa, my name is Tim Muma. Take care, everybody.